So, today's topic is the Spirit of God. So what do you think is a spirit? Is it a singular? Like, when we talk about my spirit versus your spirit. But is spirit indeed limited by any of this natural measure? We have seen too many movies, perhaps, made by Hollywood. We perhaps know too many things about what spirit can do and cannot do. But then if you read the Bible, there are many passages you find in it that expresses Spirit of God. And in Numbers, particularly interesting is there are a portion of Spirit of God that was supposedly on Moses, and God took some of that out mm-hmm. and put it into somebody else. How does that sound to you? Mm-hmm.
Fanciful.
Yeah. Is it something that you can actually quantify and measure? And then you read other passages like Samson's story. When the Spirit of God was upon him, he could do amazing things. But then when he cut his hair, the Spirit left. Then when the hair grew back, it came back to him. Well, a bigger challenge to all of us then is there God, truly God, exist outside of all humans? Therefore, we need to seek and find. Or, just like many people are arguing these days, the whole idea of God is made, crafted, invented by collective work and experience of humans. Which one? These days, if you want to be scientifically rational, you feel like you're compelled to choose this later one. Because logically, rationally, if you read many literatures, that seem to be the logical conclusion. This wave arguably started in late 19th century, like late 1800s. You know what happened in that time? Well, there are these ancient texts written by really ancient people, like the Sumerians and Assyrians, Babylonians. And they were discovered by these scholars, archaeologists. But they didn't know what that meant. But in mid to late 19th century, they started to translate them. And the shocking moment came to them when after they finished translating a whole bunch of Assyrian texts, they found the original story of the creation and Noah and the flood. And that startled, shattered, and shocked whole Western world. For many, the Bible lost its absolute authority forever by that. Well, challenge is, do you really believe the Bible is the source of God? In other words, asking, do you believe in God because the Bible taught you that? Then you're believing God who started to exist not that long ago, probably. What is the Bible? What is the written text? There's a way that we express many things as humans, and as our experience is an expression somehow collectively congruent to one another, we agree that could be true. But can we say what we agree to be true today shall be forever absolutely true? Yes. Not necessarily. we call that stupidity. Then how come we believe ancient texts written ancient times should be absolutely true forever? That also is a stupidity. So divine that exists, we all agree, I think most humans agree, regardless of age, time, and even gender, the true divine is beyond human comprehension. Period. What we have is the divine that is experienced, a piece of divine that is experienced by certain humans, that is articulated by that human, that is written in the language of that person, and is shared. But we don't accept it all either. Only the part that actually makes sense to you, then you accept it. So, where does this journey go? We somehow confess that there is objective truth to seek and find. But yet, we also practice the other side. Only things that make sense to me shall be true. However, that's the challenge by advice by all the teachers, even the Bible. Unless we are willing to break that and accept something that is bigger or coming outside in, or even different from that, different from what I made to be true. So the word holy in the Bible, in the ancient Hebrew, it doesn't mean anything else but different. When it says holy, holy, holy is God, meaning different, different, different is this God. From what? From all other gods made by humans. All other realities created by us. It is different from what human made. And yet, unless a peace, a spirit is felt by you, can we really agree and assured that this divine exists? I think that is a big dilemma. We can process and understand and even articulate logically and rationally God exists, how God works, what God's supposed to do to me. But when does it become real? As I was sharing with the little ones, we can't see the spirit, just like we cannot see the wind. But we see what wind does, and we see what spirit does. So do you have this moment? Or are you willing to open your eyes and minds to really see that and embrace it? My wife is sitting here, but I have to embarrass her a little bit. My first moment of the divine actually exists happens with her coming into my life. So let's see. I'll be brief. Long time ago, I was vowed to be single. And I convinced all my family, don't talk about marriage to me. I neither believe in marriage or possibility of two human beings loving each other forever. To me, that was a joke. So, but then I was marrying people, officiating many weddings. About after 3 years of doing that, a voice, a perception came to me one day in my meditation, simply gently knocking on my door saying, Jun Cho, there's something wrong with you. And I saw myself counseling this couple about the meaning of marriage, how wonderfully fulfilling this relationship will be, all this, and I'm not believing it. So I prayed to my God that I accept this challenge. However, I have now no idea how to ask a lady to out, or I don't know even where to find. My hobbies were staying home, meditating, reading books, watching movies alone, and sometimes playing computer games as a single guy. And once in a while, I get out with the church men's group. So I had no idea. So I prayed, God, you know what? I accept your challenge. I'm open for it. But you guide me. Soon after, I was having a dream of a woman. I'm having a date with this woman. The same person. I had about 7 or 8 of those dreams. So I had to tell my mother at the time, she was visiting me, that, Mom, when you go back home, find the young, fine lady you like, let me know. Who knows, God may work in mysterious ways. She said, yes, and she was excited. She flew back to Korea. 2 weeks later, she called and said, son, I found one. This is the first. And poor young Hee Jung was invited into my mother's house because her aunt was working at helping the household of my sister, and that she happens to be my mother's best friend at the time. So, and she was working in Seoul, actually, not in the same town, but she happens to have a vacation in that week and happens to be home. So my mom shared that news to her friend, and she thought about Hee Jung, who was visiting her mother, having a vacation. So they called, and she came to see my mom. So, and she was just being nice. So she shared all this, but my mom really loved her. So sent me photo and emails and all that. But she was in Korea, and I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. And she's 9 years younger than me, which was not marrying age at the time, actually. And also, I was in the middle of getting my green card. Therefore, lawyers saying, I cannot travel back to Korea. Mm-hmm. So I thought, this will go nowhere. Right? So I was very gently just sending her thank you emails. But as exchanging emails happening, I liked the way she's writing things. So I had to talk to her. So we picked up the phone, and we were talking on the phone almost 3 hours every day for about 2 months. And I told her, I really, really want to meet you. I don't know whatever will happen, but I have to see you. Because I have this inner feeling, the dreams, that something is leading me, guiding me, but I need to see this person in person to be sure. But I cannot go to Korea. And she said, then I'll come to see you.
Brava, brava.
If you ask her why she did that and said that, she said she was crazy. But because that was the first time she actually took an airplane and to fly. And she flew from Seoul to Chicago airport to meet this guy she has never met. So I drove from Cleveland to Chicago airport, and I picked her up, and we drove back home together. And as I was driving back home together, I really felt strangely that she's actually my wife, and she left for travel, and she's coming back home with me. Mm. So next morning, I proposed to her.
Oh, my goodness.
And yes, actually, I was hugging her behind because I could not see her eyes, just in case, she could say no. And I didn't know. Actually, so you're right, right? So I asked her that, will you be with me? And she said yes. And that was the first moment I really felt, wow, you worked all this, you orchestrated all this around. I mean, to me, selfishly saying, for me. Mm. And even before she was coming, Hee Jung was coming, her mother had a dream. And in her dream, she was saying goodbye to her daughter because she's going to marry in America. And like that. So that this whole story kind of fully confirmed me personally that this being I communicate, I believe, and I gave my life and self to in service is real and really cares about me. That was, to me, fully confirming moment. And I hope and wish and pray you all have this kind of moment. Because God, as love, is like wind, like breath, present everywhere. And whenever we are in the right condition, you could feel. You could have peace of it. A real experience. That is my belief. So my prayers for you. Amen.
Amen.